Hi, thanks for joining us for the podcast. Well, this was a huge week for Gateway. Our Mumford campus held its very first weekly service. We also started a brand new message series called G4. When a person chooses to follow Christ, it's only the beginning of our journey towards maturity. He's not through with us, but how does it happen? Well, the first step, the first G in the process, is gather. Today in our podcast, we see the beauty of gathering together for worship.
All right, well, good morning. I had the privilege this morning of being over at our Mumford campus to welcome our folks over there at our first weekly service over there was today. This morning is right now, so that's awesome. Good thing to celebrate. Definitely, I realized something, though, when I got back is that I forgot to tell my wife that I was going over there. And so she's down here wondering where in the world I am. And so I did make it with a few minutes to spare. And I want to ask you to be praying for that campus and their service over there today. Please pray for Jason, as I'm sure he's about to preach over there as well. And I want to lead us in a word of prayer before we jump into our message today. So let's pray together. Father, we pray right now that you would help us as we open your word now here in just a couple of minutes, Lord, to give us understanding. And Father, I pray that today that we would leave understanding how great you really are. And Lord, that as we understand your greatness, that we would be driven to worship you with all of our hearts and all of our souls. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill this place this morning. And Lord, that you would be honored in everything that's said and everything that's done, that you'd be lifted up. Lord, I thank you for these incredible people, Lord, that have gathered here in this place today because they want to know you more, Lord, because they want to be in your presence, and Lord, because they want to find your plan and your will for their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would honor their presence today. And I just thank you for them, Father, and thank you for loving us, and we give you our time today, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. I think there's a certain frustration that runs through the life of most Christians. And I think that the frustration is that we have this desire in us to grow in our faith, but we really don't know exactly what to do. We don't really know what the process is. We don't know the steps to take necessarily to grow closer to God or to walk with God. We know that people tell us some things. They tell us that we're supposed to read our Bible and pray and come to church. And if we do those things, then somehow magically, right, we become more and more like Christ. And I would say that there are a lot of Christians that, even knowing some of those things, that we live with kind of a what do I do next mentality. I mean, I want to know Christ more, but I really don't know what to do. I don't know what steps to take. And there can even be a frustration in us as Christians when we look at our lives and we don't see the change, and we don't see the closeness to God that we desire. You know, people that really grow in their faith, people that end up looking more like Jesus, people that end up making a difference with their lives, they have been obedient in some areas. They've made some choices to stick to a process that has yielded fruit and growth in their lives over time, and they're doing some things that are producing some growth in them. And this process that we're talking about is all over the Bible. And it's a process that every one of us as believers needs to understand, and it is something that our church needs to embrace, because we don't want to be a mile wide and an inch deep, do we? We want to be growing. We want to be going deep in our faith. And so the question I think that many Christians have is, look, what is that process, right? How does that happen in my life? Well, to help us remember that process, we're going to call it something over the next 4 weeks. And you see it on the screen there. We're going to call it G4. And that's because each step of this process begins with a G. It's gather, grow, give, and go. And all that is a way for us to remember this biblical process of growing in our faith and growing spiritually. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about these four things. And at the end, we're all going to know this process that the Bible outlines about how is it that I grow in my faith. And we're going to embrace this as a body of believers. And so in 4 weeks, I'm going to be able to come to you and I'm going to be able to say, give me the four G's. And you guys are going to say, gather, grow, give, and go. And so we're going to embrace it as a congregation. So today we're looking at the first G, and it stands for gather. Now, when we gather here on Sunday, we are gathering here to do what? We're gathering to worship, okay? And so the foundational part of this process in our lives is worship. Now, worshiping God is like changing the oil in your car. All right, you can only go so far, you can only drive so far without changing your oil. Because at some point, it's going to get old and dirty and it's going to gum up and eventually it's going to break down. And ultimately, what's going to happen to your engine? It's going to cease to work. If you don't believe me, you can try it, all right? Just drive your car for, you know, a while and don't change the oil and just see eventually what happens. Well, our spiritual life is really no different from that. If we don't replenish our spiritual self, if we don't change our spiritual oil, if we don't change out the condition of our hearts, guys, by worshiping and surrendering to God, what happens is our spiritual life gets old and stale, and eventually you're going to fail spiritually. And so your worship, both on your own, right, and our worship gathering, those things are like changing the oil, and it's foundational to your spiritual growth, and it's foundational to my spiritual growth. Now, I've heard so many stories of pastors and spiritual leaders that were doing great things for God, and then you hear about the fact that in their life there has been some kind of moral failure, or there's sin that gets in their life, or they burn out, and suddenly you look up and that person that used to be just teaching and preaching and doing great things for God, and they're completely out of the ministry. And we ask questions like this, well, how can that happen, right? And what went wrong in that person's life? And almost without exception, when those questions are asked, it becomes clear that somewhere along that way, in the way, that person, in the middle of their ministry, in the middle of their preaching, in the middle of their serving, now listen, they stopped pursuing a love relationship with Jesus. Somewhere along the way, they stopped worshiping Jesus, and the foundation of who they were began to crumble. I remember a pastor in Texas years ago. He was a well-known pastor, and he had a moral failure in his life and ended up completely out of the ministry. And when he was interviewed later on about this struggle in his life, this is what he said. He said, I was studying the Bible every week, and I was passing it on to the people. He said, every week I would open the Bible and I would study it and I would pass it on. And he said, what I should have been doing was opening the Bible and studying it and taking it to my heart. You see the difference in this? And he said, if I just would have taken it to my heart, if I just would have continued to pursue a love relationship with Jesus. And guys, listen, the same is true for you. You can be serving and working for the Lord, but if you're doing it apart from worshiping Jesus, you will not endure. When the going gets tough, you will not endure. The enemy will take you out because your foundation, the foundation of your spiritual life, is crumbling. And it has to be there. So the first and foundational part of this process is worship. Now, we're going to start today with a really, really simple question, okay? Why do we worship God? Why do we worship God? So what would your answer be? Why do I worship God? What's the primary reason? Well, I want you to open your Bibles with me today to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles is over in the first half of your Bible. Comes right before what book? Okay, y'all are sharp today. You're on it. It's right before 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 25. And in this verse, we see the very reason that we worship God. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 25. It'll be on the screen for you as well. It says, for the Lord is what? Great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. And so David here says we are to worship God greatly because he is what? Because he's great. And so there is the glimpse of the primary reason that we worship, the primary reason that we give worth to God, that we lift up his name. It's because there is none greater than him. Great is the Lord, the Bible says. Now, I think we understand this instinctively. I think worshiping God for his greatness and character is something that we understand. It's just in us. We're hardwired. We are created to see value and worth in that which is great, in that which is transcendent. It's just in us to pursue after what is great. Now, I want you to think about this. We will go to great lengths to gaze on that which is great. I don't know how many of you guys are basketball fans, but recently Kobe Bryant, who plays for the Los Angeles Lakers, played his last game. He's a Hall of Fame player, plays for a lousy team, but he's a Hall of Fame player, okay? And so his team, they weren't even going to be able to get into the playoffs. But his last game, there were more people that tuned in on television to watch his last game than any other game the rest of the NBA season. Now, why in the world would people do that? Because we're kind of hardwired to watch that which is great. You go to a football game. Let's say you go to a college football game or a pro football game. You'll go there, and there'll be maybe as many as 100,000 people right there to watch a college team or a professional team play football. But if you go over here to Brighton Middle School and watch them play, you're not going to have anywhere near that many people, right? Why is that? Because we want to see that which is mediocre. We want to see that which is great. And we're just kind of hardwired that way. Think of the trips that we take. I mean, some of you guys, here's what we'll do. We'll buy a plane ticket. We'll spend tons of money. We'll take weeks off to go and travel somewhere to see the Grand Canyon or to see the mountains or to see something that we've never seen before. It's in us to kind of pursue and chase that which we have ascribed greatness to. There's something about us. We're created to give value and to go after that which is great. This is the foundation of why we worship God. Listen now, because there is none greater than him. It's just in us. And somebody might say, well, Brother Steve, I worship God because of all the things he's done for me. And this is true, is it not, that we should worship God for the things that he has done for us, but that has to always be secondary to his greatness. We do worship him for what he has done, but we do that in light of his greatness. Because the truth is that we don't really worship things that are not great, even when they've done great things for us. Now let me give an example. How many of you are old enough to remember the TV show Lassie? All right, now if you're young and you don't remember Lassie was this incredible dog, right, that was always saving somebody's life. I mean, little Timmy must have had his life saved 75 times. And so he's always getting in trouble, I guess, or whatever. But every week, you know, Lassie is saving somebody's life. Now, I want you to pretend today that Lassie is your dog, all right, and you love Lassie. And let's just say that one night you wake up and your house is on fire. And you forget to stop, drop, and roll. And you are overcome by the smoke. And your last thought is, I'm not going to make it. And you pass out. And in a few moments, you wake up. And you are out in the front yard of your home. And your house is burning. But you're safe. And Lassie is there licking your face. And you realize that this dog has drug you out of the house and saved your life. Now, what are you going to do at that point? You're going to hug that dog. And you're going to give her a treat. You might even let her sleep in your bed. Whatever it might be. But I'm going to tell you what you will not do. You will not worship that dog. You are not going to write songs for your dog. Can you imagine? You're not going to worship your dog. You're not going to write, you know, Victory and Lassie. You're not going to sing that. You know, how great is my dog? You know, you're not going to do that kind of thing, right? Why? Because that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, right? No matter what that dog has done for you, you are not going to worship it. Why not? Because that's ridiculous to worship that thing which is not great. Even when that person has done great things for you. Listen, we worship God first because He is great and not because of what He's done for us. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. I want you to turn there and it's going to show you the same thing. Psalms is over in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. And this passage says it so well that it's just all about the greatness of God. Psalm 95, 1 through 3. He says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms, for the Lord is the what? The great God and the King above all gods." Well, that verse says, why do we sing? Why do we shout joyfully? Because the Lord is a great God. You know, something else we need to realize today is this. God's greatness never changes. God's greatness never changes. Now, do you understand what that means to our worship? If we're worshiping God because He is great and His greatness never changes, it doesn't matter what kind of day you've had. It doesn't matter what's gone on in your life. It doesn't matter if you like the music style. It doesn't matter if you like the song we're singing. It doesn't even matter if you like the worship leader. All that matters is that you're here to worship because God is what? Because God is great. And no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what you're facing, no matter what the environment is, you can worship greatly, David said, because God is great and that never changes despite your circumstances. The practice of worshiping and loving God, expressing to Him our adoration. Now listen, this is important. It is setting a foundation for our spiritual lives. It has to be there. Now, worship happens in a lot of ways, right? We worship with our lives, our surrender to God every single day, the way we live our lives. We worship God personally, right? One-on-one with Him. And it is also something that we do together, like we're doing right now. Your personal worship time is vital to your spiritual life. There has to be a time when you take the Word of God, okay, and you get alone with the Word of God, and you get alone with God, and you take it to your heart, and you worship Him, just you and God. Now, I want to take a second and talk about how to have a quiet time, a personal worship time with God. And so, this is a parenthesis in the service, okay? So, I'm going to talk about this for a second, and then we're going to go back. But I can't tell you how important your personal worship time is with God and then not give you a way to do that, right? So I'm going to give you a way, and this is called the REAP method, R-E-A-P, okay? There are a lot of ways to do it out there, but I want to give you one because I think it's important. Now, in order to do the REAP method, you're going to need a journal. You're going to need something to write in, and you're going to need a Bible reading plan. There's all kind of plans out there that will give you passages of Scripture to read every single day, and then at the end of the year, you've read the whole what? Read the whole Bible. I really like the ones that give you an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, and then either a Psalm or a Proverb. And so, you're going to need those things. You're going to need a journal, okay, to write in, and you're going to need a Bible reading plan to do this. Anytime you come before the Lord, you always want to begin by talking to Him, right? So you might start out this time with God. You say, Lord, I want to know more about You. I want to understand Your greatness. I want to understand Your Word and what it means. And so God, just open up Your Word and Your heart to me today. That might be a great way to start out your time with God. So the first part of this REAP method is read, all right? That's the R. So you're going to read the plan, the passage you have for the day. And as you do that, you're going to underline passages that kind of jump out off the page. So you're reading, you're like, man, that is an incredible verse, and God speaks to you. You're going to underline that. And there might be several in that passage that you would underline. So you're going to read, you're going to underline critical passages, and then you're going to go back, okay? And you're going to pick one of those underlined passages, just one of them, You're going to go to your journal and you're going to date it. You're going to put the date on there and you're going to write that one passage. All right? So step one is you read the plan, write the passage. All right? Second step is examine. That's the E. That is just you ask yourself, what is this verse just straightforward saying? All right? You don't necessarily apply it to your specific situation. You just ask the question and say, what is the Bible saying? All right? So you examine it. You read it. You're going to write it down when you read it, the specific one. You're going to examine it. What is the Bible saying here? The third step, the A, is apply. You're going to apply it. You're going to ask yourself the question, how is my life going to be different because of what I just read? How's my life going to be different? When I leave this room today, what am I going to do differently based on what God said to me in His Word today? So you're going to apply it to your own life. And then the fourth step, you're going to end with prayer. And you're going to write a prayer to God. You're going to pray a prayer to God about what you're going to do. You're going to end that time with prayer. And at the end of those four steps, you go back and you give that whole day's worth of writing a title. And then what you have is, every day, you're going to have a little nugget of stuff that God spoke to you and a prayer that you prayed from your heart. And you're going to be able to go back and look at that over and over again and see what God told you. I don't know about you guys, but one of the problems I have is that when I know God has spoken to me about something, in my heart, I'm like, man, I need to go write that down, right? And sometimes I forget to do that. And what happens when we don't do that? And we might forget what God said to us. And I can't imagine if the Creator of the universe said something to me, I don't want to forget it, right? This is a way you don't have to do that. So that's the REAP method. Now, let me just, I did this for Psalm 95, 1 through 3. And I want to go through it for you, just my own thoughts, okay? So let's just say Psalm 95, 1 through 3 was part of my reading plan, and I underlined it that day. So I go to my journal, and I put the date on there, and I write out that whole verse. There's something about writing something that makes it kind of stick in your mind, right? So you write that whole verse. So that's the R part. I'm reading it, I'm writing it down. Then I'm going to examine it, okay? So here's what I wrote for examine. David says that we should worship God with all of ourselves, not holding back, because God is great. All right? That's it. That's just what it said, right? So then I'm going to apply it. This is the A. So here's what I said. I need to not be afraid. I should try to let my worship touch my heart. His greatness should go so deep in my life that my response should be that I am full of joy. All right, so I'm applying that to my own life. That's an I statement there. And then the P, this is the prayer that I ended with. God, I'm sorry for all the times that I've gone through the motions of worship. I want to be overwhelmed at your greatness every single day. Give me courage to worship you with all of my heart. Okay, that was my prayer. And so then at the end, I went back and I titled it just simply, Worshiping a Great God. All right? So see, I've got that. I know what God said to me. I've got a prayer that I prayed with my heart. And so if you are able to do that every single day, you have this incredible thing that God can use in your life. Now, that's a great way to engage in personal worship. But here's what in parenthesis, back to the sermon. All right? It doesn't end with personal worship, does it? We are commanded to do more than that. We are commanded as well to worship together, right? So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10 with me. Hebrews is over toward the end of your Bible. And those of you that, you know your Bible well, I'm not trying to condescend to you by telling you where it is. I just know that if I came to church and I hadn't been in church a while or whatever, and I hadn't, maybe I'm a brand new Christian or whatever, it helped for somebody to tell me where the books are. And so Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So in that verse, our instruction is that we are to be consistent in gathering together. That's our first G, right? Gathering together. Worship is one of the greatest needs that we have. So important that one of the Ten Commandments tells us that we are to set aside a whole day, right, to have rest and to worship God. In fact, it's so important that Jesus said that if we would come together with one another, that He would meet us there in the midst of that. He said, if there's just two or three of you that come together in My name, that He was going to be what? He's going to be right there in the midst. Worship is so important, and it's a fundamental step to our progress. When we gather together to worship, there are some things that happen that can happen no other way. When we're singing together and celebrating together here, have you guys ever tried that by yourself? Just singing by yourself? And what? Hey, and that's good, right? That's awesome. But you know what? It's much cooler when we do it together. And that's something that we do together. That's an awesome thing. When we meet together in worship, our faith is reinforced. When we look around and we see others that are also looking to Jesus like we are, we're like, man, I'm not alone in this, right? There are others that believe the same way I do, and we're worshiping together, and our faith is reinforced. Not only that, but our love is renewed. When we look around and we see the care and the love that the body of Christ has for one another, you know, one of my favorite things about Sunday is just watching you and listening to your conversations and watching you hug each other and shake each other's hand and encourage each other. And I see the love of the body. And when I see that, my love is renewed. And I hear your testimony about what God is doing in your life. And my love for God is renewed when we worship together. Our hope is strengthened. You know, when I see a fellow believer worshiping here and persevering in their struggle and praising God, then my hope is strengthened. There are some Sundays when I come here and I look at you guys and I know what you're going through. I know what's happened during the week. I know you're grieving something or there's something that's on your mind. And I see you here and you're worshiping God and you're lifting your hands in worship and you're praising Him. And I'm thinking, man, if they can do it with what they are going through, man, I ought to be able to do that today, right? And so our hope is strengthened when we gather together. Those are things that only happen when we gather together. And God uses that to grow and to strengthen our faith. Now, nowhere in the Bible, y'all listen, okay? Nowhere in the Bible is this kind of gathering together described as optional or based on my convenience. It is always based on commitment. It means that we ought to come to this time of worship saying, man, I need to be there. Because this is part of what God wants to do in me, and He wants to grow me through this gathering of worship together. How many times, be honest, how many times have you got up on Sunday morning and your first thought, man, I do not want to go to church today. I just don't want to be there. It lasts a long time. He's boring. Whatever, you know, whatever it might be, you don't want to come to church on that Sunday. And how many times have you gone on out of commitment and come to church and God said something to you? And God did something in your life and you ended up so glad that you ended up coming. See, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, we are not to forsake this, that we're to be consistent in this. Literally, he says, think of ways to lift each other up when you gather together. And here's the reason, because you never know when Jesus might be coming back. You never know when He's coming back. So you need to be gathering together with each other. This gathering on Sunday mornings is an incredibly important part of what we need spiritually. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't neglect it. And I believe we're not to neglect this because worship is so important. It is a celebration of God. Guys, this worship gathering is not coming together and mumbling a prayer or a song without any thought or feeling, right? It's not giving grudgingly at the offering time. You know, here comes that plate again. They do this every week. That's not worship. It's not music done for the wrong reasons. It's not singing words on a screen. It's not sitting and listening to a sermon with your mind a million miles away. It is a celebration of God Almighty. And that's what we're here to do, to sing, to give, to pray, to hear His Word, to fellowship, to celebrate who He is and what He's done and what He's going to do to celebrate His greatness. As worship is us saying to God, God, with all of my heart, I am here to lift You up. And I am here to proclaim how awesome and mighty you are, to thank you for who you are and for what you've done. And today I'm going to, with my heart, celebrate you and surrender my heart and my life to you. That's worship. But not only that, worship is a huge statement to the world. Not only is this gathering so important for us, but it is also the first place that a seeking person will make a move toward God. You know, when you guys in your life, when you decide, you know what, it's time for me to get serious with God, or it's time for me to get back in church, or however you describe that, what is the first step that you took? You came to what? You came to the worship service. You showed up in church, probably sat on the back row just to see what was going on. So I want to ask you this. If a searching person decides, when I decide to get right with God, the first place I'm going to come to is to the worship service, how important does that make this environment? Man, it is so important. And if you come into this environment and it's cold and nobody's worshiping and nobody cares and nobody's friendly, are you going to come back? No, and what happens is instead of this worship environment drawing people to Jesus, it pushes people away. You see, this is important not only just for our own worship and our own spiritual growth, but because it is a message to the world that our God is real, that He makes a difference in our heart and in our lives. It gives us strength and motivation. You'll never be all that God wants you to be if you forsake gathering together in worship, because you are leaving out the foundation of this process. One more passage of Scripture. I want you to turn to Ezra chapter 3. Ezra's back in the Old Testament. It's hard to find, okay? It goes Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and then Job. Early service, I like to never found it. It took me forever to find it. So embarrassed. Pastor can't find the passage. Ezra 3, 11 through 13. And I'm going to give you some background here. In this passage, we're going to see a group of people that just kind of get blown away by the faithfulness and the greatness of God, and they just start worshiping together, okay? So here's the background. The nation of Babylon has come in. They've conquered the nation of Israel. They've taken the Israelites away. They're in exile. They have destroyed the temple of God, okay? It's completely been destroyed. And so you have these exiles, and they're living a long way off, but there are some of them that still remember the destruction of the temple. And they remember all of the worship they'd had there. And so they remember it, even though they've lived most of their lives away from Jerusalem. They remember it. And now in Ezra's day, God brings them back to Jerusalem. And right before their eyes, the foundation of the temple gets rebuilt. And there is this special day there when the priests walk out and they begin blowing their horns and they begin to kind of consecrate this temple again. And the Bible says, and we'll read it in a second, but the Bible says that the older people that were there that had seen the temple before, that they had seen it before it got destroyed, that they just began to weep. They just got overcome, because they were thinking about worshiping God again in this incredible place. And so they just get overcome. The young people that are there, they begin to see God's faithfulness and they begin to shout. And there's just this picture of worship as they see the greatness of God. So look with me here, Ezra 3, verse 11. Just look at this picture of worship. It says, "And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Then all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off." Hey, what happened here is this. the guys begin to see the foundation of the temple laid again. The young people that are there, they begin to shout. And they begin to see the faithfulness of God, maybe for the first time in their life, and they're just overwhelmed, and so they're just shouting to God. And the older folks that are there, and the old guys, the ones that remembered that first temple, they start thinking back to worshiping there, and they just begin to weep. And the Bible says there in verse 13 that there were shouts of joy that were going up to God. There was weeping that was taking place over the greatness of God and what He has done, and that all of them were going on together, and you couldn't tell who was shouting, and you couldn't tell who was weeping, because they all knew how great God was. Guys, that's worship. And in our time with God, every day, when we get in this book right here, and we open it and we read it, and God speaks to us, when we gather together in this place with one another, because we serve a great God. And guys, if you can do that, if you can come here and get in God's Word, and you can do all of that and never shout and never weep, is it possible that maybe God has yet to fully capture your heart? Guys, if there's no emotion in worship for you, you are only giving half of the biblical picture of worship. Because I want to tell you what, in Psalm 95, I didn't say it. In Psalm 95, God says, "Sing for joy and shout aloud to the rock of your salvation, for the Lord is a great God." Because I believe in being reverent before the Lord. I mean, there are times when we just need to be on our knees and quiet and not open our mouths. But if that is the only response that we ever have to God, it's only half the picture that the Bible paints. Because whether you like it or not, in Psalm 134 and verse 2, it says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Guys, today I want us to do that. I want us to worship God today because He is great. And guys, some of you guys, and I'm not, you know, we worship the way God leads us to worship, okay? And some of you guys don't even lift your hands in the shower, and I get that, okay? It's all right. But what I want you to know is that it's okay. It's okay. Just if God leads you to raise your hands and praise Him, guys, it's biblical, okay? God leads you to do that, you know what? You need to be obedient to that. It does not mean that we're going off the deep end. It does not mean that there's going to be all kind of crazy stuff going on. It just means that I want all of me, all my life, all my heart, every part of me to be submitted to God. And I want to honor Him. I don't want to ever be distracting in worship. I don't want you to be distracting in worship. It is not about that. It is about Him and His greatness. And today, you know, if no other time, today, I mean, hopefully all the time, but today I want us to worship God because He's great and for no other reason. So I want you guys to stand with me. We're going to sing a song here together. We're going to do this. And I want to ask you to worship Him with all that you have. This is our invitation, Him, today. If you want to come, give your heart to Jesus, man, today is the day to do that. Don't leave here without doing that today. You may want to come and join Gateway. You've been through our processes, whatever. Whatever your decision is today, the altar is open for prayer. But more than anything else today, man, I just want you to worship God because He is great. Will you do that with me today? All right, let's worship Him. How great is our God?
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, all the earth rejoice.